Like Pastor said, we'll be in James 2. Don't stand quite yet. I want to talk to you a little bit. James chapter number 2. I'm going to be doing, as you can see, this whiteboard up here, doing a little bit different than what I typically do. I'm a firm believer in what's called expository preaching, and it's about finding the main intent of the author, and then finding what he was saying to those people, and then pulling that out, and then saying that to you. Because I'm not up here trying to tell you what I think about stuff. I want you to know what the Bible says about stuff. And what we're doing tonight is going to accomplish that purpose, but in a completely different way than I've ever done it. Because James, he's writing to these people. Now, if you were with us for the last few weeks, you know that James, he's writing to these people who are Jews from Jerusalem. These are from the church at Jerusalem, so they'd all be Jews because they were right there in the middle of Israel, and they were converts to Christianity. And so they were part of that very first church that Christ established. Christ, you know, established that church while he was on this earth, and then he left and sent the Holy Spirit to empower that church, and then that church reproduced and eventually got here, right? So that's the very first church that was ever established, and they were doing great, right? Remember that? They were spreading the gospel, telling people about Christ. They were excited. They were newly saved. They were saying, look, this is what Christ did for me. He can do the same for you. And the church was just exploding. It was growing. It was like in the thousands. 5,000 were added in the day of Pentecost. It was insane. It was awesome. Just think about that. If we had 5,000 people added to this church. Just think about that number. That's Fall City, like the entire city here. Right? And that happened in one day. And so it was exciting and all of that stuff. Well, it was exciting for the church, but for the leadership, it was not as exciting. Because the Roman leadership saw them as a threat, and so did the Jewish leadership, because they were seeing this new religion coming up in power, and the Roman government saw them as a group of people that were rising in power, and they could, if at this rate, take over the place. And so they were being persecuted by both groups, and if they didn't leave, they would either be put in prison or beaten or in some cases killed. Stephen would be one of them. And so they had to leave, right? So they had to go. So I'm not going to get into all the inner workings of what we've talked about so far, but we do know that these are people that were primarily saved out of Judaism, okay? And James is writing to these people. As we read the text, you'll see there's an obvious false teaching, false view in circulating around these people about the relationship between faith and works. Between faith and works. How those things compare to each other, how they relate to each other. There was a mindset that said this, that apparently there was a mindset that said, as long as you say you have faith, then everything's going to be okay. No matter how much works that you produce in your life, no matter what you do for God, as long as you just say, I have faith, then you're going to be fine for eternity. That was apparently a mindset that was circulating, and James, he writes against that mindset, okay? Now, that can be true on the surface level, but you have to remember who we're talking to again, who's talking to these Jews. They were saved out of Judaism, right? And so prior to salvation, they would have thought works are actually a part of fellowship with Christ and with God Almighty. Not Christ, but God Almighty, right? Circumcision and sacrifices and all these things would have been an integral part of their fellowship with Jehovah. Before salvation, that was it. And now they're in this new age of grace where Christ has come, he's the Messiah, he's fulfilled the law, and those things aren't necessary anymore. Now, the only thing that is necessary is that you put your faith in Christ and the accomplished work on the cross, in the fact that you are lost without him. This is what must happen. You have to have faith, which I'm getting ahead of myself. It has to be said because it's going to get really confusing if this isn't said. Faith is more than just believing. Okay, faith is a conviction to know without a shadow of a doubt that something is true. And so you have to have faith in a few things. You have to have faith to know that you are wicked. Sorry, it's just the way it is. Not trying to belittle anybody. I'm wicked. We're all wicked. Of our own self and our flesh is wicked and against God, enemies of God, of ourselves. And you have to know that. There's some people that don't know that. They hear that and say that, but they think they're pretty good people still. You have to have faith that you are wicked and with of your own self, unable to save yourself, unable to attain heaven on your own. You are wicked, okay? So I'm wicked, you're wicked. Welcome to Valley Avenue Baptist Church. We're all wicked. And so the next thing you have to know is that you are wicked, but Christ did something so that you don't have to be that way anymore, right? Jesus Christ is God. You have to have faith in this. You have to have faith that Jesus Christ is God Almighty himself who came to this earth and know without a shadow of a doubt that that's true and know without a shadow of a doubt that he lived a sinless life and that he died on the cross for your sins and know without a little bit of no doubt at all that Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross was more than efficient to pay for your sins and to pay for the wickedness that is within you. You have to have that faith, okay? So that's a new thing. That's not something that was happening in the Old Testament. Now, they had to have faith that they did all of these works in faith, right? They did these sacrifices. They did all these different practices in faith that a Messiah would come. And if they did it without faith, then they would not have been saved. They would not have been, you know, in the Old Testament economy saved, okay? So, but now that's not the case. There's nothing there. Now, it's only the only thing that you have to do to be saved is have true faith. And that, now there's some qualifiers to that, but that is biblically true. And so whenever you have these people who are like, works have nothing, absolutely nothing, works have a lot to do with our salvation, and now they're going to that, works have absolutely nothing to do with my salvation, and then they went to an extreme that says, no, at all. Not only do works have nothing to do to produce my salvation, but works have no place in the conversation of salvation at all. And we're going to see tonight that's not necessarily true either. Okay? And so let's see how James responds. Now, I have to tell you that you're going to read this and it's going to sound fishy and you're going to get a little bit nervous, possibly, if you haven't studied and understood what he's saying here. But we'll get through it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read what James did to confront their problem of faith and works, and then I'll talk about our problem with faith and works, because it's a different problem, and that's what makes it really hard to just preach this expositionally, because it doesn't make sense with our mindset, because our mindset's not the same as theirs, okay? But we need to, before we can understand what we need to do, we have to understand what they had to do, okay? And so let's read it, and then we'll get into it. So if you would stand with me, James 2 and verse 14. James 2, chapter 2, verse 14. James says this. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now, whenever you hear the words, can faith save him? Obviously, yes. But he's not just saying faith in general can that save him. He's saying this kind of faith that they're talking about. When you say, I have faith, but you have no works, can that kind of faith save you? Well, the answer there is no. The faith that has no works following it, okay? And we'll explain it. Verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give him not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, that's important. Show thee my faith by my works. Okay? Now, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now that's where it gets kind of, and I'll explain that. Just don't get nervous tonight. Seest thou how that faith wrought with his works, and by faith was made perfect? I'm sorry. And by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So the title of our message tonight is Saved by Faith and Faith Works. They're not separate, okay? Saved by Faith and Faith Works. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Lord, thank you for so much for this day you've given us, Lord, for this time you've given us to gather, Lord, as a church, to hear your word preached, Lord, and to sing praises to you and just to worship you tonight. Thank you for that. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for what your son Jesus Christ did for us and the fact that we're able to be saved by faith. And I just pray that you would help me tonight, help me to be clear, and help us all to understand what you'd have us to know tonight. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So like I said, these people, there was this mindset circulating. Now, this probably wasn't inside the churches because they're all going to church and they're all serving and they're hearing this letter. But there was a mindset around that said, in this time and in their, where they were, that if you just said you had faith, that was going to be enough, whether or not you had works to follow it, okay? And this is his answer to that, his response to that claim. He says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? Now, that faith, like I said, it's not just faith, because when we say faith, this is what we think. Total conviction that is totally true. But when he says faith here, he's talking about these people who have a false view of faith, and their view of faith is, I just have to say that I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, and if I do that, then I'm saved. And is that enough to save a person? It is not. It is not enough to save a person. He says that without works to follow, that works that follow that faith prove that you had faith. James said a profession of faith if that is not accompanied by works, that is not followed by works, is not real faith and cannot save a person, okay? He asked if faith can save a man if it's not accompanied by works. And then let's look at verse 15. He explains what he means by that. Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things that are needful for the body, what doth it profit? This is what he's saying. He's saying, okay, so a man comes, he said a brother, so someone in the church comes to you, someone who's close to you, someone who you care about, right? And he comes to you and he says, look, I don't have the food I need. I don't have the clothing I need. If left to myself, I will die because I don't have what I need to live. If someone in this church came to you and said that, what's your response? Well, let's do something about that, right? We have compassion on that man. We have to get that man what he needs to survive, don't we? And so he's saying, now if a brother comes to you and you say to him, yeah, I care about what you're going through, and depart in peace. Be warm and filled, as if now he is warm and filled. But you give him no food, you give him no clothing, and he leaves. What good was that? What good was your compassion? Well, that wasn't compassion, was it? If you just tell the guy, oh man, I'm sorry, you don't have anything you have, you know what, just leave. Just tell him, you now are warm and filled. Did that make him warm and filled? No. So just to say, be warm and filled, doesn't make that man warm and filled. And in the same way, just to say, I have faith, with nothing to prove that, it's probably not faith, okay? Just to say you have faith doesn't save you. It has to be true, saving faith. And this, just the same way as giving that man food doesn't make you have compassion, it doesn't necessarily, if you don't do that, you don't have compassion, but giving that man food proves that you had compassion on that man, right? Otherwise, how are you going to know that man had compassion? And that same way that happens, the same way without works, how do you know that guy really had faith? Probably he didn't have faith. Because when there is compassion and a brother comes to you who is going to die without, you know, a day's worth of food and you don't give it to him, that's not compassion. And if you say you have faith and you have no works, that's not faith. Because compassion demands you help that brother, and a faith in that same way demands that there be actions to follow it. Okay? And that's true because James made the case that true faith produces obedience to God. True faith produces obedience to God. Now, that's not the same as obedience to God produces faith. That's what we're hearing when we read this passage, that, yeah, works gives you faith and salvation. No, salvation gives you, makes you to have faith. I mean, salvation makes you to do works, and works doesn't make you to have salvation. Does that make sense? Think about that. I have to write it down because I was reading this all day. I mean, yesterday I studied it. I'm pretty sure I had it yesterday. I looked at it again. Don't have it. I had to write it down. So I'm going to help you. I've got to write it down. Okay? So this is what he's saying. That faith, oh, this is a bad marker. It's going to work out. I wonder who used my marker, because it was good before. Anyway, faith will produce, not words, works. Writing words. Works. Okay? Now, whenever we say works, this is what we're talking about. Outward actions. Okay? Okay? Because this is what James has been dealing with, right? This whole book. He's been talking about hearing the word and doing the word, right? You hear the word, and you have it inside, and you have faith inside, but if you have true faith inside, it will represent outside. It will come out of you. There will be outward works if you have true inward faith. And so faith will produce works. If you have faith, you will have outward actions. Okay? Look at verse 18. Yea, a man may say. Now, it sounds like, at first glance, he's listing somebody who would disagree with him. But actually, in a weird way, he said, this is a man who would agree with him. And this is what James is saying. A man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So this man is responding to the first man. The first man, in verse 14, said, I have faith, but I have no works. So yeah, I have faith. And so this guy says, let's see, thou hast faith, you tell me you have faith, and I'm telling you I have works. Now you show me thy faith without thy works. Go ahead and show me your faith without having any works. And I'll show you my faith with my works, okay? So what he's saying is that faith will produce works, okay? And if you don't have works, probably you don't have faith. Like, we can't know that 100% sure, but we do know that faith will eventually produce works. If we haven't seen them, maybe they were there. But there will be works that are produced by your faith. That's just how it is. Verse 19. He continues. He's talking to this man. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. Now, stop. That's what that man thinks when he says faith. When he says, I have faith, but I have no works, what he's really saying is, I believe in God. I believe that there is a God. I believe that that God is righteous, and I believe that because of who I am and because of who God is, that he has every right to cast me into eternal hell. And I would be scared of what that God can do to me, because I believe who he is, and I know who I am, right? That's what he's saying. You'll do as well. If you know that, you're doing good. But let's keep reading. Where am I at? 19. The devils also believe and tremble. He's saying, look, you believe there's a God? That's good. But so do the demons. The demons know who God is. The demons, they tremble. They know who God is, and they know what he can do to him, and they are convinced what he will do to them. If you will, turn to Mark. Turn to Mark. We have to look at this. Mark 1. Mark chapter 1. Hey, Sean, is there any way that you can run down and give me a different pen, a different marker? Maybe blue or something? Just not yellow or any of those. Okay. Mark 1:23 says this. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Unclean spirit there is a demon, a devil. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? So this demon recognized who Jesus was. And he said this, listen to this. Art thou come to destroy us? They know who he is. They know he can destroy them. And he says, I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. That was a demon who said, I know who you are, Jesus Christ. You are God Almighty himself, who was able to destroy me, an evil spirit, and a mighty demon, and you have the power to cast me into eternal hell. And in the passage that kind of goes with that is in Matthew, and that's what he says. Are thou to torment us, to cast us? Because there will come a time, and they know this, the demons know this, that there will come a time that Christ casts all the demons into eternal hell. And they know that. They know who God is. Toss it. They know who God is. They know what will happen to them, and they are tremble by it. Look at verse chapter 5. We'll just go there. I was going to maybe skip it, but Mark 5, chapter 1 says this. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of Gadarenes. I knew that one. I'm in front of you. Okay? And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had, unclean spirit, a demon, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains that had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken pieces, neither could any man tame him. This guy was a maniac, right? It was the maniac of Gadara. The man was indwelled by an evil spirit, and because of that, he had great power, and he was able to bust all the chains they put on him, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Listen to this. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. He knew who he was. He recognized Jesus afar off, and he ran and worshipped him. He bowed himself low to him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I know exactly who you are. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Because he knew what's going to happen to him. He said, "It's not the time yet, but please don't send me to that eternal fire yet." The demon knew that. For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So there were many demons within that man who understood who Jesus Christ was as God Almighty and understood what they deserved because of who they were. The demons knew that. And so I'm just submitting to you that maybe just knowing who Jesus Christ is as Son of God and knowing what's going to happen to you because of who you are, maybe just believing that and having an intellectual assent to that in your head isn't quite enough. Because the demons believe and tremble, and they obviously hate God. And they're against him, and they don't obey him, and there's no good works coming out of them. And we can prove that they don't have true faith. They have intellectual assent, but they don't have true faith, and we know that because there is no works coming from them. Okay? So faith, in verse 20, says, "But wilt thou know, O man, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." And then he says these things about Abraham and Rahab. I'll just read them, and then I'll explain to you. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works?" Now, justified there, we see that, justified by works, and then Paul says, no, we're not justified by works. But Paul, he's talking to a whole different crowd. He's talking to the crowd that says, you need to have works to be saved. Justified is a judicial term, and it says the judge, he said it's proven that you are saved. That's what Paul's saying, that we are justified. We are declared righteous. He made a ruling, justified in that way, declared saved. Now, he's talking about your faith is justified, that your faith is found real. Totally different. And so he's saying that Abraham's faith was found out to be real because, let's see, where am I? When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. So obviously that's not talking about his salvation because that happened before in Genesis 15 when he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. But it was here when he was obeying God and his good work of offering his son by faith, willing to offer his son to God, even though God had promised that this is the son that's going to carry on his seed, and that made no sense to him, but he didn't care about what made sense to him. He cared about what God wanted, and he had faith in God, even if it didn't make sense, and his faith in God was proven by the fact that he was willing to sacrifice his son on the altar. So his works justified, proved his faith, because faith produces works. And if Abraham just said, "Yeah, I believe God," but never had any works, we would have no way of knowing that he had faith, because the demons say, I believe God, but there are no works, and they don't have faith. Make sense? And Rahab's the same way. Likewise, verse 25. Verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only, where he's saying that you can't just say you have faith, that faith is justified. It is proven by your works. Verse 25, likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Rahab was a Gentile woman who had heard about who God was. Somehow she heard about who God Jehovah was, and she believed that he was the true God, and that whenever the messengers came in to spy out her land, she recognized them as God's people, and she helped them. Why did she help them? Because she had faith in who God was, and these were God's people, and I'm gonna help these people because I'm serving God because I have faith in him. Make sense? So her belief was justified as faith whenever she had works. Okay? Are we okay? Awesome. So that was their problem. And so James wanted them to know that you works, you're right. Works don't produce faith. Works aren't part of your salvation. They don't produce your salvation. But what you need to know is that whenever you are saved, whenever you have true faith, that faith will automatically produce works. And Paul says the same thing. If you would turn to Ephesians, this is the reason why people think they disagree. If you would, Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 8. This is what Paul says. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? So this is what Paul says. James wrote this book long before Paul wrote his books. And so James didn't have this knowledge. So this is where I'm transitioning from them to us, and we're going to talk about our problem with faith and works. Now, this is what Paul says. Paul says that grace and faith, these produce salvation, right? Now, God's grace is upon all men. God is not willing that any should perish, and he died for every single person that exists, that ever was born, that every single person God shows grace to. So every person has that grace. Every person has the Holy Spirit pursuing them in some way, whether or not they know yet, if God will send someone to them. If they have any kind of, Bible says that whoever seeks God will find him, and God wants them all to be saved, and he has grace upon every person that's going to be saved. But there has to be faith, too. Just because God died for you on the cross doesn't mean that you're going to be saved. You have to have faith in that grace. Make sense? So that's awesome. That's a good thing. Now, let's read on. Because that's not where it stops. Verse 10. Because we always see, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, well, we should go 8 through 10. Because look at 10. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works. You see that? We that are saved are created in Christ Jesus to good works. Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him. Because God knew that if you had faith, there would be works. So Paul says, grace and faith equal salvation, and then there will be works. But do you know why there are works? It's because faith produces works. Okay? And so James was just saying that you cannot have salvation unless you have faith, but faith always, always produces some kind of work. And if you're going to say that I know without a shadow of a doubt that I am lost, that I am wicked, that of myself I deserve to be condemned forever in hell, and Jesus Christ died for my sins, he, God Almighty, died on the cross and bled and died and suffered just so that I don't have to go through that, and you believe that without a shadow of a doubt, and there is nothing in your life that changes from that. You might have an intellectual assent to say, yeah, that's probably true, but that's not faith. Because if you know for sure, 100%, without a shadow of a doubt, who you are and who God is, and there is nothing there between those two things, then I'm saying true faith, not just belief, but faith that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he is God Almighty and died on the cross for your sins. And other than that, you deserve to go to hell forever. And there's no works at all your whole life. Then I'm just saying that's not probably faith. Because faith always produces works. And we're created at salvation as Christ's workmanship unto good works. And if we're not moving unto good works in some way, then this is not happening. Okay? Does that make sense? And so that same mindset that was there is in our day too. It's called easy believism. That just says, look, I mean, as long as you believe in everyone who believes in Jesus, we're all okay. Well, I'm just saying that's not true. That's not true. If you just believe that there is a person named Jesus Christ, or you believe that even if you believe that God Almighty, Jesus Christ is God Almighty, and Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, and other than his sacrifice, you are condemned to hell forever, even if you know that, that doesn't for sure say that you are saved, because faith will compel you to act upon that and to accept that gift that Christ gave to you. And you'll accept that by faith and not just because some preacher says it's a good idea that you get saved. That's who I was as a child. When I was 4 years old, 5 years old, and what I loved when people told me, good job. Okay, I loved it. And you know what that desire for acceptance caused? Sorry. Do you know what that caused? Works. And I prayed the prayer, and I said all the things I need to say. Oh yeah, I walked up that aisle. I'm saved. No, I wasn't. Because you can have works, but just because you have works, it doesn't go the other way around. It's not that. No. Faith, for you to be saved, you have to have faith, and faith produces works. But just because you have works, that doesn't mean you have faith. It could be something else. Does that make sense? That's what I was at. I loved it. And so in my whole life, I would do everything I was supposed to do outwardly. It was ingenuine. James has already addressed that before. We talked about it, that you're supposed to be a hearer of the word, a doer of the word, but then you have to live the word, because if you're going to be a doer of the word in public, like I was, but a doer of yourself and of your flesh in private, then you that's not faith. You're not living by faith. You're living by that, even by your flesh. You're self-serving. Does that make sense? And so there's a lot of things that can produce works. I mean, good feelings, you can put a good feeling. I love it. When I do works, man, I feel like I am a good person. Yeah? So I'm just going to do all these good things, or people love me, or whatever it is. And you can have all these outward actions. James calls it religion, all these outward acts, but it's not pure religion, it's not true religion, it's not true works for God without faith. Okay? If you would, we'll do one more. Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You hear that? Without faith. Now, this is someone who is saved. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then we read about Noah, by faith did this. And Abraham, by faith did this. And all these people, by faith did this. And so we're thinking, these people please God. God loved these people. Abraham was a friend of God. Noah was highly valued by God. All these people were pleasing God. And they were, how are they doing that? Well, look, Noah built the boat, and Abraham did what he was supposed to do, and all these people, they did all these good things. So what we do, this is what we think. Pleasing God is by works. That's what we think. It's backwards. I'm just saying that we think that works is what pleases God. Because we read all throughout the Bible, all the Bible stories. Yeah, I mean, Daniel, I mean, he was awesome. We want to be like Daniel. We want to do all these good works. Well, how did he do that? By faith. Yeah, he had faith in God. He didn't think, I'm going to do all these good things so that I can please God. No, no, no. The only way that you can please God is by having faith. And if you believe God and have faith in his word and faith in the principles of his word, then you will act upon those principles in his word, and those will be shown by good works. But if you're not showing good works and you're only showing works of the flesh, then this is what you're having your faith in your flesh. And in what you think is best, and what you think is right. But what we want to do, let me make this right, because it has to be, that we think works pleases God. And that's wrong, because it's faith that pleases God. And because of that, there will be works. And that is because faith always produces works. And it's not just salvation. That the only way that you can have true good works is faith. Nothing else. These are works, but they're not good works. They're works of the flesh. They look like good works, but it's not the works that matters, guys. It's not the works that matters. And that's what James is trying to tell them. Look, I mean, faith will be produced by, it will be shown by works and proved by works, but your faith is proving your works, but what matters here is the faith. What we're trying to do is prove that you have faith, because faith is what matters, because faith is what's going to save a man. Because if a man says, if I have faith, but I have no works, does that man's faith save him? No. We need to have true faith. What matters here is that we have faith, and the way that we know that we have faith is if there's works involved. But faith minus works is not faith. And faith minus works is not there. And we have grace and there's no salvation because there's no faith. And the same thing down here. That if we don't have works that are showing that we have faith in the word of God, then we're not going to please God. But if we just try to do works to get salvation because we think those things go together, that's not going to work. And in the same way, if we're going to try to please God by doing these things back here because these things go together, that's not going to please God. We need to stop trying and trying and trying, because it's never going to work. Because when you do things by trying and trying instead of by believing and having faith, then you're doing things by your flesh and you're not doing things by faith. And the only thing that's going to please God is faith. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We're thankful for how freeing it is to know that we can't do the things that you want us to do on our own. Lord, our flesh is not strong enough to do those things, and we just need to place our faith in you and trust that you'll help us to do what you'd have us to do. I just pray that you'd help us to surrender, Lord, to respond by this truth, by surrendering and understanding our utter dependence upon you. We love you. I pray that you would work. Christ, in my prayer, amen.